Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Load shedding hurts most businesses, we know this, and of course it hurts some more than others, unless you sell generators, in which case you are smiling right now. But in the case of Plastic's small cap Bola Metcalf, load shedding really hammers margins, and the management team did not hold back in having some choice words for our government. Full credit to them for that bravery, and honestly, with revenue up 13% but profit from operations down 25% because of the pressure on operating costs, it's hard to blame them for being angry. Load shedding is not the only driver of that pressure, of course, but it is a major contributor. Buy the rumor, sell the deal. These are old words in the market, and that's certainly what seems to have happened with the PPC share price last week, jumping 20% on speculation around a potential sale of PPC Zimbabwe. The share price maintained that gain over the course of the week, so investors were not put off by a SENS announcement from PPC about that speculation. PPC acknowledged that it receives unsolicited approaches regularly for its assets, including PPC Zimbabwe. Although that is not newsworthy in and of itself, there is usually substance behind deal rumors like this, especially where the company didn't come out and strongly deny them. Renergen has proven that companies can use the JSE to raise capital after all, with an accelerated book build that raised over 110 million rand at a price of 24 rand per share. This is a discount to the prevailing share price, but that's simply how these things work. Institutions will not invest unless they are offered a reasonable discount by the bookrunner, in this case Standard Bank. That's the bank in charge of actually raising the capital. Renergen needs to follow an accelerated book build process in these capital raises in order to avoid the substantial costs and time wastage of a rights offer, which would give all shareholders a bite at the cherry to put more money in. If you do not like the thought of being diluted over time, then honestly, Renergen is not for you. Phase 2 of the Virginia project is a cash-hungry animal, and this is by no means the last capital raise that we will see from Renergen. In other junior mining news, Orion announced that the convertible debt facility with the IDC worth 250 million rand has finally been agreed. It's been in the works for a while now, with the lawyers hashing out the finer details. These funding packages are rarely simple, so they take time to negotiate. To give you an idea of some of the terms, the debt is convertible into equity in the Prisca Copper Zinc project based on a pre-money valuation for the project of 1.2 billion rand. The interest rate is prime plus 3.5%, so you can now feel better about your home loan. And even if Orion doesn't use the money, there's still a cost attached to it. The IDC charges a raising fee of 1.25% and a commitment fee of 0.75%. But these terms are actually not unreasonable. This is how the market works. Welcome to the world of hybrid debt or mezzanine finance, where elements of both debt and equity come to play. It is super interesting. In case you needed a reminder that share prices are forward-looking rather than focused on the past, Sappi delivered it with a bang last week. The share price fell 10% on the day that quarterly results were released. That's despite this being a record first quarter result, but the market didn't care much about the result versus other first quarters. Instead, the market focused on the trend in this quarter versus the preceding quarters, also known in the market as cadence. Other than in highly seasonal businesses, this approach makes a lot of sense, and it is certainly in line with how most entrepreneurs run their businesses kind of month on month. Record first quarter or not, the issue is that customer inventory levels are high and a destocking cycle is hitting Sappi's volumes. This means that the next few quarters are likely to be disappointing. The good news is that Sappi's balance sheet is much stronger now than it was a year ago, so the company is in a far better position to deal with a tougher point in the cycle. Despite our government's best efforts to help the illegal tobacco industry during lockdowns and who knows what's still coming in the next state of disaster, British American Tobacco is seen as a defensive stock and a cash cow for investors looking for yield. This is because of the global nature of the company, and even though smoking volumes are dropping every year, pricing increases tend to make up for that issue. In 2023, for example, global volumes are expected to drop by 2%. But aside from the pricing increases to overcome this, the company is also carefully managing costs to protect its margin. The new category segment gets all the attention in the reporting so that the company can actually tick all of its ESG boxes, even though that segment generates just over 10% of group revenue and is only expected to be profitable in 2024. But what investors really care about is actually the 100% conversion of operating profit into cash and some growth in the dividend, something that British American Tobacco delivered last year with a dividend that was 6% higher. Kudos to Carp Agri, releasing a quarterly result that most local companies can honestly only dream of. The recent acquisition of Fuel Forecourt's business Peg Retail Holdings certainly didn't distract the management team here, with the rest of the business posting like-for-like revenue growth of 17.8% in the latest quarter. Volumes were higher if fuel is excluded, which makes sense given the way consumers had to adjust their driving habits to allow for much higher fuel prices, so fuel volumes were lower. But recurring headline earnings per share is up 19.8% this quarter and return on capital improved. Full marks here to Carp Agri for a fantastic quarterly result. Pick and Pay is just too important to leave out this week, though I'll only touch on the key points in what was a detailed update. The most important thing to remember is that the business is once again nowhere compared to ShopRite. Volumes are significantly lower based on 10% inflation and like-for-like sales growth of just 2% in the 17 weeks leading up to Christmas. Boxer experienced a pretty nasty slowdown in that period, although the January 2023 trading is back to form, so that's good news at least. But the real silver lining here is Pick and Pay Clothing, a business that performed solidly over Black Friday and the festive period. This must be where some of Mr. Price and Pepkor's market share is going, and this business is becoming increasingly important in Pick and Pay. The final update that I've chosen to focus on this week is from Spur, where franchised restaurant sales are growing magnificently. Of course, a lot of that is a recovery versus a COVID-infested period in the base. The Spur format itself was up 33.6% in the 6 months to December, and Rocco Mama's was up 14.6%, a format that I do feel has lost its way, but look at that growth regardless. But these are dwarfed by speciality brands, the sit-down restaurants like Hussar Grill. They were up 62.3%. HEPS for the period is now higher than in the 6 months to December 2019, so Spur has recovered to levels that are finally higher than pre-COVID. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Wrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.